Good morning. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered round Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother.' And anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition you have handed down, and you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person."
Thanks, Fiona. That's what I want. I imagine that most, if not all of us, will have read or heard at least some parts of the King's speech to the joint session of Congress and his speech to the state banquet in America a couple of weeks ago. It was a masterclass in saying some really difficult things, in telling Congress, the president and his cabinet some home truths, some things that they really wouldn't want to hear, but doing it in an incredibly tactful and diplomatic way. Far from taking offense, Congress gave him 12 standing ovations. I loved the look on his face. Standing ovations was clearly something that had never happened to him before. Well, I thought about the king when I read a passage from Tom Wright's book on Mark. In talking about this passage, he says this: "Jesus had to use parables, not only here, but on many other occasions. It was the only way he could say some of the most devastating things he wanted to say. If you're trying to tell your own world that it's going the wrong way, that its heroes fought for the wrong cause, and its martyrs died in the wrong ditch, you'll be careful how you do it. It's got to be cryptic. The Pharisees needed to be answered. Jesus had to make some kind of statement, but Jesus was not about to hand them an obvious propaganda victory. The king's speeches in America needed to be heard or read carefully to get the full understanding of what he was saying. But what he was saying was incredibly powerful and important. What Jesus was saying here also needs to be unpicked to discover the powerful and important things that he was saying. The Pharisees and teachers of the law had come down from Jerusalem. They were presumably some sort of official fact-finding commission of theologians sent to investigate a campaign of healing and preaching that had been causing quite a stir. This had happened before. This was at least the second time that teachers of the law had come from Jerusalem complaining about Jesus' behavior as a rule breaker. So it should come as no surprise to us that this group of Pharisees and teachers of the law turned out to be biased and suspicious right from the start. They didn't attack Jesus personally. They attacked him through his disciples. They saw some of the disciples eating food with hands that were unwashed. And so they said to Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" Now, it's important to understand that this wasn't a matter of hygiene. This wasn't like your mother telling you to go and wash your hands before you had your tea. This was a ceremonial washing. And quite often, it wouldn't even have involved enough water to actually properly wash your hands. It was just ceremonial. According to the traditions of the elders, Pharisees, and because they insisted on it, all Jews, wouldn't eat unless they gave their hands this ceremonial washing. When they came in from the marketplace, they couldn't eat until they'd washed. And they had many other traditions, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and kettles. It wasn't about good hygiene. It was a matter of purity. And maintaining what they believed to be purity was a key matter for the Pharisees. How did Jesus answer this charge that the Pharisees brought against his disciples? Well, a bit like a politician, he didn't answer the question. Instead, he quoted the prophet Isaiah. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are just rules taught by men." Isaiah was talking about you, he said. In other words, he was accusing them of having a religion that was skin deep and man-made. Yes, the Pharisees were religious people, very religious people, but their hearts were far from God. Yes, they did everything they were supposed to do according to the law of God, and then they did a whole lot more in addition, because they added all sorts of stuff to God's law. Yes, they turned up to worship. They would have been regularly in the temple and synagogue looking remarkably holy. But that was just lip service. And Jesus pointed out that God is not interested in that. because God isn't interested in the outside. People look at the outward appearance. The world judges people by how they look and what they say, and increasingly now by what they've said in the past on social media. But God looks at the heart. We can do all the right things, say all the right things, turn up regularly to worship, but what God cares about is what is going on in our hearts. The Pharisees, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, said Jesus. Their religion was skin deep. It was also man-made. In the Old Testament, we find God giving instructions through Moses for how the priests were to wash when they entered the tabernacle. But nowhere did God command this ceremonial washing for all his people. It wasn't part of the law of God. It was a tradition of the elders. It was part of a body of obligations that had grown up around the law of God, interpretations and additions that had been added to the law of God over the centuries. It was something that had been devised by the scribes and Pharisees and had now become a requirement, but not a requirement of the law of God, a requirement created only by humans. And the charge that Jesus leveled against the Pharisees and legal experts was that by teaching as fundamental law what was in fact only human custom rather than divine revelation, they were guilty of hypocrisy. They were claiming to be teachers of God's truth and law, but in fact, they were only teaching human tradition. And the problem was that when human tradition substituted human law for the law of God, when obeying what they described as the elders meant disobeying what God had decreed, the problem was when they treated man-made laws as being more important than God's law. And Jesus gave them an example of how obedience to the tradition of the elders meant breaking God's command. In the Ten Commandments, we read, honor your father and your mother. And in Jewish society then, and actually still today, that meant a lot more than just showing them respect. It also meant caring for them, supporting them physically and financially. But a bit like a cunning tax accountant finding a loophole in the law which would enable someone to get away without paying any tax, the Jewish legal experts had found a way around this. It was a principle called Korban. The rabbis had determined that it was possible to make a vow to the temple, so to make a vow to God in effect, of all the money that would normally have been spent in the future on the maintenance of their parents, and so they could avoid the plain demands of their duty. Their parents were in need, and they said, sorry, we can't help. All our money has been devoted to God. We have no money to help you, Mum and Dad, because it's all been devoted to God. It was a wheeze to get round the commands of God. They were hypocrites, these people who said they were sticklers for the law because they were quite happy to find legal loopholes when it suited them. And that's just one example, said Jesus. You do many things like that. Well, Jesus, of course, hadn't actually addressed the fact that his disciples had eaten with unwashed hands. So he called the crowd to him and he said, nothing outside a person can make them unclean by going into them. It's only what's inside a person that makes them unclean. In other words, you don't get unclean by eating your food with unwashed hands. And by the way, said Jesus, all the laws in the Old Testament about clean and unclean food, don't worry about them. It's not what you take into you, what you eat, that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of you, what comes out of your heart, evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. It's quite a list. And these are the things that come from a person's heart and make them unclean. By focusing on outward show, the Pharisees were totally missing the point. By caring only about outward purity, they were avoiding the much deeper challenge of inward purity, the challenge of the gospel, the challenge of the human heart. Someone once said that the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Here were Pharisees who were so devout, who were working so hard at being religious, but whose hearts were far from God. It's very easy to be critical of the Pharisees, but I think it's also very easy to be quite like them, because I think there is a bit of Pharisee in all of us. The things they cared about most were man-made. They'd made up a lot of rules and regulations, things which weren't bad in themselves, but which they said had to be obeyed. What about the things that we think are important? When we come to worship, what are the things that matter to us? All Christian churches have their own practices, their own traditions, their own ways of doing things, and these things can be good. But if we're not careful, they can become things that matter to us too much. The problem is when we expect our way of doing things, our traditions, to be followed. When we use that as a way of excluding others who see things differently. The outward signs of obedience in Jesus' day, keeping the Sabbath, observing food laws and circumcision, washing hands, became the badges that marked out the in crowd and excluded others from the circle of God's grace and acceptance. Are we ever critical of people who do things differently from us? Are we ever in danger of becoming so focused on the details that we develop tunnel vision and miss the big picture? Can we become tied up in technicalities and minutiae and things that are of lesser importance while ignoring the command of the law to love our neighbours as ourselves and to treat others with love and mercy and grace? The Pharisees' religion was skin deep. They did the right things, said the right things, worshipped as required, taught their disciples, but their hearts were far from God. Their hearts were really focused on themselves. Where are our hearts? Have we ever been guilty of just going through the motions? Maybe reading our Bibles, praying, coming to worship, saying and doing the right things, but our hearts being far from God, or our minds firmly on other things. When we come to worship, do we come with open hearts to God, or hearts that are closed? Do we come to bring the worship that God desires? Worship in spirit and in truth? Or do we come for external things? To meet our friends? To have a coffee together? Maybe to sing some good songs? Maybe because it's what we do on a Sunday? Where are our hearts today? The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. That's what Jesus was saying to the Pharisees. Your hearts are all wrong. So how can our hearts be all right? In the book of the prophet Ezekiel, we read the promise of God that he would give us new hearts. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will be my people and I will be your God. The promise of a new heart, a promise that is fulfilled in Jesus and in the presence of God's Holy Spirit within us, as we will think about next week when we will celebrate the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost. When you have a new heart, then God says, you will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Not following laws the way the Pharisees did, thinking that they could earn salvation, but being obedient to him, because the Spirit of God moves within us to will and to do his good pleasure. It's all because of Jesus. We can do nothing to earn our salvation. We can do nothing to sort out our hearts. It is all of him. A new heart because of the Spirit of Jesus within us. The second letter to the Corinthians says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And the first letter to the Thessalonians says, may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. The answer to the problem is Jesus. Amen. And we're going to stay seated as we sing through once, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And then we're going to go straight into singing, you died in my place, I'm wholly yours. And Ben will bring forward the offering as we sing that. And then Gail will come and lead us in our prayers for others.